Today, I'd like to talk with you about a positive and fearless perspective on our present world situation. Because it seems that a lot of people are wrestling with this great spirit of fear that sort of descended upon almost everybody I meet. There's a spirit of anxiety and worry and dread of what is, what has been happening, and especially what might come to us in the future. So today I'd like to talk with you about overcoming those things, about what perspective God would have us have, and especially the setting of our minds. And so I have the helmet of salvation up here today. We're going to talk about setting our minds on those things that point us to and inspire into us courage and joy and peace, and direct us away from those things that lead us to worry, anxiety, and fear. So the setting of our minds, we're talking about that, a very super important message from God today on this thing. And so first of all, if we think about this, there's a lot to inspire fear in people these days if you look around at the world. I mean, we all expect it's some sort of turmoil and trouble in a fourth year election of a United States president, but I don't think any of us expected what we've seen. I mean, a virus and the economy almost totally shut down. A loss of a lot of jobs, international travel ceased, airplanes mostly ceasing to fly, cruise ships going empty and sitting at anchor, prisoners set free, honest citizens locked up, police defunded, cities burned, indoor church services outlawed actually in certain parts of our country, and pastors arrested, and then a vaccine on the way that could very well be related to the mark of the beast from Revelation chapter 13. So yeah, I guess you could say kind of a troublesome year. Yeah, we didn't expect this. And so there's a lot that could make us nervous or afraid. But let's remember and focus on this now. What does God tell us about that in His Word? Let's open up to 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, "I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control." And so, if you're experiencing fear, God did not give that to you. God doesn't want you to be afraid. God doesn't give you fear. God wants you to be free of fear. That's a good word. The word fear there used is deleia in the Greek, which means a lack of courage, a deficit of moral strength. Cowardice, timidity, or fear. Now, all this doesn't mean that we don't wrestle with fear or experience it at times, but that we don't let it overcome us and rule our lives, that we win over it. And in fact, you can even eradicate it and be free from it because God gave you a spirit of power and love and self-control. Now, the word for self-control in the Greek is sophronismos, which can also mean a sound mind. A mind guarded by the helmet of salvation. A helmet, a mind guarded, I know it looks ridiculous, but with thoughts guarded and everything by the word of God, the promises of His salvation. And so God gives us that. And in fact, how many times in the Bible has He said, "Do not be afraid, do not fear, do not tremble, but be strong and of good courage, because I am with you wherever you go." And really, that's all we need to know. Not only does He say, "Don't be afraid, But he even says things like this, even in the midst of trouble, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will tell you, rejoice. Is that actually possible? Can we actually rejoice in our present world crisis or whatever might come? Well, think about the guy who said that. That was Paul. Think about his life. What did he experience? Many imprisonments, he says. Countless beatings. Often near death. He was lashed by the Jews. 3 times beaten with rods. Once they threw stones at him to kill him. 3 times shipwrecked. A night and a day adrift at sea. In danger everywhere. And this is the same guy who tells us, I have now learned in whatever state I am, any and all circumstances, to be content. I can take it. God's with me. I've got this. And even rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So it's definitely possible for us to live through whatever might come with a joyful spirit. So how did he do this, and how can we as saints do this? Well, much depends on where we set our minds. That's what I'm going to talk about today, wearing the helmet of salvation. Because think about this, when you have a feeling of fear, a state or emotion of being afraid, that's usually in response or reaction to thoughts that you have, because you're thinking of something fearful that tends toward fear. So if you think about burnings, and the media is throwing in your eyes injustice and just terrifically scary things, and that's the set of your mind, that's where you're focusing on, that's where your attention is grounded all the time, what do you think you're going to feel? Happy and joyful and confident, or fearful and worried? Well, obviously you're going to feel fearful and worried. But if you take the helmet, guard your mind, and set it on those things that are godly of God, well, those are going to stir up inside of you, conjure up, inspire courage and confidence and joy and peace and all those things that we're after. So remember, it's guarding our minds, and where we set them is super important. Let's see if that's actually in the scripture. Let's open up to Colossians here. Colossians chapter 3. Paul says, if you've been raised with Christ, which you have in Christ in the baptism, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God, etc. So say that with me. Set your minds. Set your minds on things above, not on the things of the earth. Are you doing that? Are you setting your mind on the things of the earth? All this trouble down here? Are you setting it up there? Set your minds. Very important. The helmet of salvation. Let's take a look at another one. This is a super theme key God wants us to get. Look at Romans chapter 8. There we read, the mind that is set on the flesh, that is set on the flesh, is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh can't please God. But to set the mind, fix it, engrave it, establish it on the Spirit, to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So it is important for us, super important to do this, because our minds are like a wild, untamed stallion, aren't they? Can you keep your mind on one thing for more than a minute, or a few seconds? And if they're left unrestrained, it always seems to inevitably lead us to negative thoughts, thoughts of evil, thoughts of the world, thoughts of the flesh, which lead you to fear, worry, anxiety, dread about the dangers that might be about you. You've got to wear the helmet, guard it, take that untamed stallion and put a bit and bridle on it and direct it, set it upon the things of God. James says, don't be a double-minded man. And I sure love this one. This is Philippians 4, very famous. And it says this, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence, there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things, etc. And the God of peace will be with you. So where are we to set our minds? It's important. We've got to guard our minds because that's intricately connected with our state of heart. If you think on God and his greatness and his wonderful, powerful protection, you'll be confident. If you think on the world and burnings of cities and injustice and troubles, you'll be afraid. Set your minds. Tame that untamed stallion. Where should we set our minds as Christians? For our confidence and courage through the present crisis and indeed in all times. Number one, very simple, on God, to fix it there. Let's read that in the Bible, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou, that is God, dost keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. So where's the first place we should set our minds? Straight on God. That's so simple, but it's so hard to do, isn't it? We got to fix our minds. Just anchor them in God. Just keep them fixed on the Lord, and you're going to do great. Very hard to do, but very important to do. What kinds of things do we focus on with God? Well, on his protection. Set your mind on that, on his power, on his defense of you, on his faithfulness, on his promises, on the new covenant that you have with him through Jesus Christ called grace, eternal life and the forgiveness of your sins, and his promise to be with you and to go before you, with you, in everything that's going to come to lead you in triumph. That is his promise to you. Now, if you set your mind on that, Sonia, what do you think you're going to feel like? What's going to be the state of your heart as it follows your mind? I feel great. I'm as bold as a lion. But if you take your eyes off of God and start focusing on your enemies, for example, and their strength, well, you get trepidatious, fearful. For if you think of the present crisis, COVID reports from the media, the crazy actions of governors, burnings, racism, attacks on churches, arrests of pastors, the globalist agenda, the kingdom of Antichrist, Bill Gates and the vaccine, the mark of the beast, the devil, and you set your mind on those things, how are you going to feel? Tremulous. That's why we read King Saul and the army of Israel. They saw this. There came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath. That's the giant whose height was 6 cubits in a span. That's 9.5 feet. Now, I've measured this before. That's to the top of this air conditioner vent right here. Now, if you see such a giant, how would you feel? He roared against them. They looked over his armor, his sword, his wicked boasting, his threats, and his dangerous strength. They set their minds upon their enemy. When Saul and all these heard, Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and, what's the result? Greatly afraid. They're setting their minds on the flesh. But then comes along a young man who just laughs at the opposition, David. He says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And then he shouts at the face of the giant, "Goliath, this day the Lord will give you into my hand, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will give me the victory." Where was David setting his heart and his mind? On the Lord, his might, the strong arm of his justice in war, his power to protect and to defend the right. And so how did David feel? Courageous, and he ran at the giant and took him down. Can we do the same thing in this present crisis? It's a giant, to be sure. not just what has been or is going on, but I think the real giant is what might be coming to us. Can you run at that giant saying, but my eyes are on the Lord? For David says, I keep the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. You see where his mind is set, guarded with a helmet of salvation on the king. If he's with me, all this is easy. I'll get it. God's on my side. I'll win. You know, I've tried to do this, set my mind on God. Have you done this? It's tough. Our mind is an untamed stallion. It wants to run here and there. We can't hardly concentrate on something for 5 seconds, much less a minute or 15 minutes. So I sat on the couch a couple weeks ago and said, I'm just going to see if I can focus and meditate on God alone for 15 minutes. You know, not like a Buddhist, like, all that kind of stuff. But I was just, I did sit Indian style. But, of course, that's politically incorrect. You have to say I sit, cross-legged applesauce or something like that. Whatever, but I tried it, and my mind wandered. And then I said, okay, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to just use, as an anchor, just think up adjectives that describe God. And so for 15 minutes, I just sat there in quiet, all-powerful, Father, protecting, defender, counselor, wise, pure, good, terrific, super, marvelous, bright. And I went on and on, and I didn't run out of things to say for 15 minutes. How do you think I felt at the end of 15 minutes? I felt like as though I was in another world. I was bright and strong and confident and peaceful because my mind was stayed upon Thee, O God. So setting our minds on God, it's an easy concept, but it takes a lot of practice to train our minds to do it, because our minds want to run off into the wild blue yonder like a stallion. But you can train your mind in this present crisis, a great opportunity, on God, and He will keep you in peace with courage and confidence. So put a bit and a bridle on that wild stallion. Direct your minds to Him. Fear will flee away and courage rise. Now, secondly, you can also set your mind on the things that God's doing in this present crisis. And I found that to be a great source of joy for me. Because, you know, earlier this summer, I was actually struggling a bit with a lot of this. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I've got to pastor this church through all these things. And there's a virus. And then there's the political stuff going on. And then it seems like the kingdom of Antichrist is on the move because... What's the Antichrist? The man of lawlessness, and we're seeing a lot of lawlessness and defunding police and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, and I can't stop it, Lord. So I would wake up in the morning, and I was very hard to have a really positive day because I'm like, but it's still here. I got to deal with all this. I went to Key Largo in July, and I prayed to God at the end of this dock by the water there, and I said, God, I need a better perspective. And, you know, I'd been focusing on the lower level of the economy. That was troublesome. On the next level up of politics, their misdeeds, that was making me frustrated. The level up of Antichrist and the devil was making me nervous. God said, Greg, come up to a higher level with me. Come up to where I am and see it from my perspective. So after a couple days, God, you know, showed me this. And he says, look at this. Everything you've been preaching against, Greg, for the last several years, the idols of the world, I'm taking down. And I was like, that's right. Oh my goodness, it's so true. God is destroying the idols of our country. And in a good way. That's marvelous. We should rejoice in that. Think, for example, I've preached against Hollywood for years, that the movies were getting darker and darker. So demonic. Could they have possibly gotten worse? They were killing our youths, making things worse and worse, poisoning all everybody's minds. And in one night, after I preached years with little effect, my father, my great father, comes in and overnight, boom, out of business. Hollywood's gone. They're not making movies. I mean, nobody's watching them. Nobody's going to the theater. Great job, God. Yes. So that actually gave me joy. I'm like, at God's level, this is looking pretty good. Then the idol of sports. Now, I know some of you love sports. I like sports too. But they had gotten ridiculous. They were becoming places of the glory of man in the face of God. And the NBA was filled with a lot of felons, criminals. And if you analyze the halftime shows for the Super Bowl, if you put down your Doritos and just look at this, as I've studied some of those, like with Madonna and J-Lo and Beyonce, they were doing satanic worship rituals of the devil, and with all the glory fanfare of it, how long is God going to put up with that? So what's God come in? Overnight, boom, sports are out. And I'm like, that's marvelous. Great job, God. You're taking out the idols. It was, you know, if they come back, let them come back in righteousness. Rock concerts, overnight, boom, the evil that was leading people astray, gone. Nobody can do those. The idol of political demigods, politicians claiming to be righteous but working evil, well, this crisis has shown their true colors. And you've seen many of them for who they really are. Great job, God. They're exposed. The media has been exposed for their true colors. You've seen that. Good job, God. And the biggest idol of all, perhaps, is false churches. Because there have been so many churches, very big even, preaching homosexuality, abortion, unbelief, false gospels, and such. And I've preached against those for years. You can bear me witness. To little effect, helped you guys, but I didn't stop them. But here comes my father. Wah-boom! And down they go, while also raising up the true churches, making them stronger, bolder, refining us like gold. We're shining brighter. God, this is fantastic. You're doing great things. We're living in biblical days. It used to be like the Bible seems like over here and we're over here. But now what I read in the Old Testament, it's like I'm seeing God work to judge the nations. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let them, make them know that they are but men, as David says in Psalm 9. He's judging the nations, putting them in fear for their evil, refining the righteous as gold, and calling yet still more from all the world to repent and believe the gospel and be saved. So my point is, if you focus and set your mind on what God's doing, even this is just a tiny portion of it, I was like, yes, this is awesome. What I'm seeing is fantastic. This is marvelous that my eyes can behold God working in great ways to work justice and to lift up the righteous and bring down the wicked. It's great. So each of these levels is true. The first level of the economy could make me anxious. I could focus on that. The politician, next level up, could make me frustrated. Level three, the globalist agenda, Antichrist and the devil, could make me distressed. The highest level, God's, hey, I'm leaping for joy. And the thing is I can choose which of these, all they're all real, which one to focus on. Amen? I can put on my helmet and say, I'm going to focus on the highest one, what God's doing. And I'll tell you the truth, since I've been doing that for the last number of weeks or months, I'm feeling great. With everything that's going on, I'm like, but I focus on that one. Go get him, Father. You're doing great. And you're going to lift us up in the midst of it. It's jumping for joy types of things. The next thing to focus on is God's promises to provide for you a way through and in the imminent future. Because to me, that's really something that troubles me more. Because present crisis, I haven't really suffered very much. Neither have you. What's going on is very troublesome, but it's really what might be coming that's nerve-wracking. It's sort of like you toss a rock into a pond and then the ripples go out. I don't think we've seen the ripples get into all the edges of the pond yet. Now, maybe things will turn out great. They'll get better. Maybe not. Maybe they'll be more challenging to us. But the promise of God is he's going to provide for us the way. And isn't that exciting? Can we set our minds on this? Remember the Old Testament days? They left Egypt. They're at that Red Sea. Pharaoh's charging after them, closing in. They're blocked in, nowhere to go, seemingly. And what's God do? Opens the doors of the sea, And they walk through miraculously with a wall of water to their right hand and their left through the seabed over to the other side. Do you think God might be preparing to reveal to us a miraculous way to go through this present crisis that you've not seen yet? And it might even be spectacular? I'm looking forward to that. I'm setting my mind on his promises to provide the way, because he has promised to provide for you and me the way. As he says in Psalm 91, "Because he cleaves to me in love, says the Lord, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." We don't call him a shepherd for nothing. He goes before us, opens the way, leads it, and he's going to do it for us. I'm excited about the miracles and the way that he will provide for us to go, and he will provide it. We'll just see it in time. So I'm excited about that. And then one more. You could set your mind also on his promises to provide for us in the imminent but more distant future, on our ultimate victory. Because here again, let's go to Colossians 3 once again. "If you then have been raised with Christ," that's born again, baptized, believed, "seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died." In other words, you're dead to this world, you don't belong here anymore, "and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you're also going to appear with him in glory." If you set your mind on that, what are you going to feel like? That's your future. It's promised of God. It's set in stone. It cannot be changed. This is before you. We're not looking to things that are seen, like the earth. We're looking to things that are unseen, which are eternal. And this slight momentary affliction, it's just a little bump in the road, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. This whole world for us is just a truck stop on the highway to our heavenly home. So I ask you, who cares if the truck stop is unkempt or has trouble about it? What do we care? We're not staying here, are you? I'm not. I'm going on. I'm passing to my heavenly home. And that's where we need to set our minds. We're strangers here, just exiles. It's a truck stop. As it is, we desire a better country, a heavenly one. And that's why God's not ashamed to be called our God. For he has already, in the future, prepared for us a city which is coming. And if you do these things, fear is going to run away. Courage will rise. So let's leave it to the unbelievers. Leave it to them to do all the worrying about this world, this truck stop. Paul says, "Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly. They glory in their shame with," watch this, "minds set upon earthly things." They can't think of anything but this world. But our citizenship, our minds are set on heavenly things. Our citizenship in heaven, and from that heaven we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to change our lowly fleshly bodies, and they're going to become like his glorious body, and he's going to do it by that same power which enables him even to subject everything to himself. That's our future. When we think on these things, fear flees, courage rises, and your joy too. And God's already sent the Savior to give you justification through faith in his name and eternal life. What more do we need in life for joy than that? So, finally then, let's be careful to set our minds on those things that are of God. Because our minds are an untamed stallion. This is not easy to do. Easy to preach, but we can get better at it. We won't be perfect, but set your mind on the Lord. Tame that untamed stallion. Set it on God. And whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, gracious, if there's any excellence or anything worthy of praise, God says, think about these things. And the God of peace will be with you and will carry you courageously with joy into his heavenly kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.